Welcome to the Closing the Gap podcast series, brought to you by BrandHook and CMO Magazine.
I'm Pip Stocks, and I'm your host for Closing the Gap, an 11-part series about how marketers can close the gap between what consumers want and what business is delivering.
The digital transformation is upon us, yet 74% of senior executives around the world state their understanding of the customer experience as incomplete. This series gives marketers practical ways to build that knowledge.
My first guest for Chapter 4 is Carolyn Bendall, the Head of Marketing for ANZ. Carolyn is an experienced marketing and communications executive with over 20 years' experience in the banking and finance sector. Hi, Carolyn.
Hi.
The last two episodes we've talked about consumer behaviour and how that's changed, and today I want to cover off that idea about loyalty and consumer loyalty on the decline, particularly because of the new digital world that we're living in. I mean, some would say that the loyalty has never really existed, and we've talked a little bit about consumer habit and how it's really about habitual behaviour rather than loyalty, but we can talk about that in a moment. But first, I want to pick up something that you and I kind of talked about on Twitter over the last week. You liked a recent article of ours where we said it's not about digital transformation but more about marketing evolution. So I just wanted to see why you really liked that.
Yeah, and I did, Pip. As soon as I saw that, I was like, bang, spot on. Because it's something that, and certainly in my experience running marketing for ANZ Australia, that, you know, I do not see digital transformation as a program. It is absolutely about marketing evolution, and it is more than digital. There is no doubt that, you know, digital is a leading role in all our lives and in really every way we're consuming and making decisions. But equally, there are many forces at play, and it is such a rapidly changing consumer landscape. We have to consider a much broader context than digital transformation. And I think you'd miss the mark if you did look at it as a program that you change from X to Y. I think it is an ongoing piece, and certainly that's how I've tackled it. I gave a keynote speech a couple of weeks ago where I shared a view that I believe that the new world of marketing is more science than art. Mm. And I talked about four key pillars that I believe is driving that. The first being about the rise of the consumer experience. The second piece around content and content management. The third one around data and analytics. And the fourth one around channels, and quite especially about multi-channel or omni-channel thinking. So there is more than digital at play in that. And certainly when I think about how we put our marketing programs and strategies together, it's not just about digital transformation. And a really good example of that is, you know, we see that where we run traditional advertising like TV and radio, the digital channels perform far better. Mm. So it is thinking about these channels as a whole, not just about digital as something special or different. Mm. So, you know, the other piece, and why I like the word evolution, is as a marketing leader, I found that important from a mindset point of view, that that's the type of mindset I want to instill in my marketers, that we are always changing. There is no set and forget. We have got to always be testing and learning. We have to be open to change, which can include organisational change. It includes budgets shifting, and people have to get their heads around the fact that just because you had a particular budget through a particular channel or exercise last year, you may not have it next year. So I think evolution fits the mark.
It's funny because we studied marketing at Monash.
Yes, we did.
And I think, you know, it's interesting about the old days, because we think about, you know, the customer map in the old days. You know, when I first was in advertising, it was let's put a 30-second ad on TV, let's put the fragrance sample in the magazine, and inevitably someone would try it in the department store and buy it.
Yes.
And we've got this new map now, which is chaotic, and it is frightening. And if you don't actually get on board with this, as we see in evolution, because marketing has changed so much in 20 years, you just have to keep up to date with that.
Oh, I think absolutely. A conference I was at earlier this week shared a view that marketing has changed more in the last 2 years than it did in the previous 50. Mm. And, you know, I kind of agree with that.
Yeah,
you
me
know,
too.
Maybe that's a very extreme point, but I think it's actually roughly right.
Yes.
There is no just linear marketing approaches anymore, and certainly the way, you know, paths to purchase and influences around brand and brand experience cannot be as straightforward as it was. It is a more sophisticated thing, and it's back to my earlier point. That's why I believe there is actually more science that needs to go into it than art in these days.
Totally. Great. So let's talk a little bit about loyalty then. We're seeing a lot of smaller financial brands, you know, launching, so like Nimble and Wallet Wizard. And we're seeing them launch, you know, kind of quickly and more able, I suppose, rather than the big four, because we're living in a digital world where the barriers are probably lower. So what is ANZ doing to prevent the erosion of market share from some of these smaller players?
Yeah. Firstly, I absolutely acknowledge that there's lots of finance startups, and particularly in the payment space, like the examples you just talked about. So very aware of that, but I would also say at this point in time, we still see a very high preference for security and the backing of a major bank brand. So I guess the short answer to my question is actually about recognising what we are as a brand, and recognising that actually the consumer need state when it comes to managing your money are traits like security, trust, reassurance, and actually major bank brands are the ones that actually can provide that to the greatest degree. So one part of my answer is that I believe we have great brand strength and we have to continue to invest in that. But equally, we also need to learn from some of these smaller startups that that continually, it's back to our evolution piece actually, continually looking to improve the customer experience, make things more accessible, make things easier, is what, you know, it's not just these smaller organisations that have to do that. You know, that we have to do that ourselves. We have to be willing to disrupt ourselves and our own processes. And I think, you know, we are doing that. And probably the third point is some of these smaller financial brands actually offer opportunities for us to partner. So there are opportunities where it's true there is some insights and some innovations that make great sense, and we can actually look at doing things together. But really the response for certainly ANZ and major bank brands is we have a competitive advantage in terms of what our brand stands for, and we need to play to that.
And the agility of some of those brands is something, I suppose, to, as you say, look at and work at how you can disrupt your own customer experience.
Exactly, learn from that. You know, it's, and obviously it's not just in banking, it's in virtually every category I can think of. The customer expectations are getting higher and higher about, if it's not easy, I don't want to know about it. So we need to take those lessons and do it.
Well, the real-time aspect, you know, like we always talk about Uber. Everyone now expects their taxis to come in 3 minutes.
Exactly, and be able to track them and, it's a great example.
So according to the World Retail Banking Report earlier this year, banks all over the world are experiencing a decline in loyalty, and I suppose particularly the younger segment. I know we've done a bit of work on this together, but is that something that you've noticed, and what are you doing about it?
And I know we're going to talk about habits some shortly, but it's actually, it is an interesting point, because our research, and indeed then our numbers, don't show that younger customers are actually less satisfied or less likely to be advocates. In fact, they actually generally have a higher satisfaction and a higher net promoter score compared to the broader base. But part of that is attributable to the fact that younger customers tend to have fewer products. So often it is just a transaction banking relationship. It's not a deep product extension to things like home loans or business accounts and what have you. So, you know, you could argue less opportunities to be dissatisfied or look to move. But equally, you know, I think it can be a bit of a misnomer that younger customers are less loyal. But that being said, I think it actually does come back a little bit to the habit that you were referring to before. What we actually see is that in the main, people are not consciously thinking about their banking brand to any great degree. So it's not so much a loyalty decision. It is far more about what is working for me. And if it is working for me, into the habits, that's going to be the main driver. Now, all that being said, it is younger customers who are more prone to switch. So not so much that they are dissatisfied or not advocates, but when it comes to switching, and that's firstly because it's easier to switch a relationship that is not particularly complex and multi-product, but also they have the highest amount of trigger moments when you actually would look at switching. Got my first job, moved interstate or internationally, saving for a home and therefore starting a discussion around home lending. Even our younger segments are more entrepreneurial and actually looking to be their little garage startups. So even some basic business banking requirements. So they're the things that actually trigger a switching piece. And for us, and certainly how we tackle it, we need to be there in that moment and be relevant. So respond to that need around first job or saving for a home or moving. And brand appeal is very, very important. Very conscious of that, that we need to be top of mind and we need to present ourselves as a relevant bank.
And the latest campaign does a good job of that, isn't it? It's the insight around the excitement of having their first job and being there for them and with them during that
journey. The Job Ready campaign's been a great example of that. You know, at the end of the day, really, the genesis for that is that's an everyday banking campaign. It's a segmentation piece that we know the greatest opportunity for us are a younger segment, and the biggest trigger is actually about getting that first job. It can be the first actual job, so the sort of 15, 16 year old first part-time job, in many cases where for the very first time they actually need a bank account to be paid into, and they absolutely love to get a bank debit card to be able to
makes
put
them feel
in that
very
wallet.
Special.
Yeah, it's a real rite of passage. But equally right through to then, you know, the first real job, proper job, you know, as a uni or school graduate and, you know, seeking to set themselves up independently from banking that might have been set up by their parents previously. So, but we've gone to market in very different ways. We produced an AV film that actually has not gone on to TV at all. It's not a TVC, but it's certainly done to the same production qualities, but it is all through social and digital channels. We've partnered with Twitter and Cody Simpson around a whole social activation. We've got another young entertainer writing the new job song at the moment. So it's been a really good case study in going to market in a very different way, but in a relevant way for a young segment.
And looking at that omni-channel approach, really, isn't it?
Absolutely, yeah.
So what do you think about loyalty as a concept? I mean, you said you kind of, you know, probably feel like it's a little bit habitual as well. I mean, there's a lot of information around, you know, the thing that we've read about is, you know, again, the Ehrenberg Institute would argue loyalty never existed, but because of the opportunity to research and the opportunity to investigate and discover, you know, people are more prone to taking up something that's a bit different, or you know, buying a brand that they may never have considered before. David Acker bought an ASUS computer recently, and you know, he's the king of brands, and he said he wrote a blog that said I bought a no-name computer from a components company. And he did it because he'd read online about how fantastic it was. So I suppose my question is about the concept of loyalty and is that really dead?
Yeah, I think, you know, I'd go back to the point I made earlier that in the main, and talking about my own category here, as in banking and finance, that in general, people don't really want to think about it all that much. They absolutely, you know, want a good and easy experience and will revert to brands that they trust wherever possible. So brand, first and foremost, brand salience and relevance is important, and important to each segment that you're wanting to be relevant to. So that, yes, and obviously a big brand like ANZ, you know, puts you in an advantageous position because you have a large customer base, and in the main, you know, they are going to stay with you while you know, things are working. And then the most important thing is to actually be relevant and have things available and accessible in the few times they actually do need you and want to talk to you. So whilst loyalty, and I tend to sympathise with the Ehrenberg Bass views as well. It is probably more about actually just having the right solutions and not giving people a reason to look any further, or indeed if it's a new purchase, being the ones that you're top of mind.
And we wrote a blog recently around customer engagement as the is a more accurate measure, yes, of commitment to a brand rather, yep, than that idea of measuring loyalty or even NPS.
Yeah, or even NPS.
People feel like they have a good experience with you, that you satisfy their needs and you actually deliver an effortless customer experience, that's more likely to...
to retain your customers, yeah, absolutely, and keep them coming back for more needs. I do agree with that. Mm. You know, the difference is that the expectations around that experience are increasingly getting more and more. So whilst you get that right, I actually think, and again, a larger brand has a larger customer base to retain, and therefore, you know, gives us an advantage. It also means that there's more opportunities to disappoint or not deliver an experience, yeah, that people are expecting.
You know, do you think out of category, do you think any great brands, because you're around a lot, you see a lot of people, which brands do you think out of category are doing a really good job in this digital world?
I think I'm conscious all the listeners here are going to, yes, we keep hearing these case studies, but we just talked about, you know, Uber and, yeah, that whole transport thing. B&B, to me, Airbnb has probably the most exceptional story around how they have really built a business and delivered to a consumer and really created value out of excess capacity in a, yes, completely different way.
Yeah.
But they're the brands that are actually setting a new expectation around experience. So I think, you know, they are doing things very well. I think, look, some of the retailers right down to the supermarkets are actually, you know, I think they get a pretty hard time around the place and in the media. But I actually think in terms of experience and engaging with their customers, creating, you know, using their data and analytics and creating good customer relationships and, again, relevant, timely reasons why you should keep coming back to the brand that you're with. I think they're doing a good job.
Mm. We there's a case study of DHL in Sweden where they ran a test probably about 18 months ago now, where they thinking about excess, you know, space and capacity, they used real people to deliver their products.
Right.
So you could log on to this app called MyWays, as a potential deliverer, and then those who wanted their goods faster than DHL could deliver it would you'd pop it in there and say, is anyone going past my house?
Right.
And if you were like an approved everyday, yeah, person, you could say, yeah, I'm going past your house, I'll pick up your parcel and deliver it to you. So they get points or money, and then the person who's delivering it pays a little bit more.
It's amazing.
That's receiving it pays.
Yeah, and I'll counter that. I actually saw also another amazing case study out of the States where, in a similar way to Airbnb, but this was about parking, an app and a whole system had been created around Find Me My Nearest Park, including then people with just driveways that were not going to be used during a certain period of time could register the car park in the driveway to be used.
I have had that idea.
And it wasn't the US, it's the UK actually.
Now
that I think about it. And they said that someone earned, you know, £6 in a few minutes because they had, you know, an hour that a car could come and park in the driveway. It's great, isn't it?
I said to Paul, we should start an app that when you put money in the meter but you leave before your money's finished, that you could actually, someone could slip in there.
Yeah.
They've stolen my idea. I love it.
It's very nice, isn't it?
So I think we've run out of time, Caroline, which is very sad. So I just wanted to thank you very much for your time, and I wanted to thank everyone who's listening. Next week we're going to talk to one of our thought leaders, Madeline Morgan, who runs the Neil Perry Restaurant Rockpool. She's going to talk about our first 7 ways to close the gap. So we're starting to introduce some of the solutions to how marketers can cope in this chaotic world. The first one is around what we call building a consumer practice. And we chose to talk to Madeline because the hospitality industry has probably been mostly consumer-focused as an ongoing practice because, you know, they deal with the customers face-to-face and they have to solve problems immediately. So.
And it's a fickle market, yes.
Yes.
It really is.
So it'll be interesting. So thank you very much.
It's a pleasure, Pip. Thank you.